Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
The Survivor Specialist, Phil McKenna, are back. And today we are recapping the premiere episode of Australian Survivor, Brains versus Braun 2. This is the first time ever that we're doing a live Survivor Australia podcast on the channel. So I'm really excited to dive into this. I think I cannot figure out the Australian time zones. I don't understand it at all. I think they're 8 hours behind us, but the next day. So if that makes sense. So right now it's like 1 p.m. I think for them on Tuesday. So I think that the second episode may have already released. I could be wrong. I don't know how it's working. But all of that is to say, we are only recapping the premiere episode here. We just wanted to jump in, give our initial thoughts, give the premiere episode its flowers, for lack of a better term, and then move on and start podcasting the weekly.
Weekly Wednesdays.
That's pretty much what the goal is. And it's going to be fluctuating a little bit over the next couple weeks with Deal or No Deal Island and with the Traders and with Survivor US and with Survivor Australia and with John and I. We just killed it with a movie podcast. We have 100 views in 2 hours, which is like insane for that podcast. So with all of these things going on, because it's Oscar season and all that, Survivor Australia might fluctuate a little bit, but we wanted to get in here. We wanted to talk about the premiere. If you look at the thumbnail for this, the thumbnail for our video, who's on the thumbnail, McKenna?
Oh, my winner pick for the season?
That was your winner pick. Where did I have Candy? Because I was...
You were going to pick Candy, and then you were like, no, scratch that. Morgan, who I have a beef with because she made, in my opinion, a stupid move. But that's only my opinion. But I'm hot for this episode.
I was a little floored, and I'm not going to lie. I was sitting here rooting for Candy. I liked Candy. Now, let's be real here. For as long as Nash is going to be on our TVs, he's going to be excellent TV, so it's not going to hurt us to get Nash a little bit longer. McKenna's already shaking her head.
Is hurt with Nash on my TV. I get him off.
I am so fine with Nash being on my TV. Because
he was your first boot from this tribe. Well,
so all of a sudden I'm sitting here and I'm going, okay, Candy is going to survive this. Nash is going to be the first boot with the idol. Did we read spoilers that I didn't know existed? Like, did somehow the two of us did, like, we get like the hive mind here where it was like, whoa, we figured it out. And then as this episode was unfolding, I am watching Nash do what Nash is doing. My camera is so crooked. Oh my God. I'm watching Nash do what Nash is doing. And this is exactly out of the playbook of Russell Hance on 2017 Australian Survivor, right? 100% out of the playbook. He is just aggressively doing it. He's rubbing in everybody's face in it. And he's not going to play the idol. That's what my assumption is. He's not going to play the idol. And that's going to be it. Nash is going to end up going home because they're going to call out his cockiness. Not only did Nash play the idol, he didn't need to play the idol. As I'm watching this, I'm going back and forth between all three. And I think this is a really great premiere because it could have been any of the three people who were up for elimination. Candy, Ursula, Nash, none of them would have surprised me. But I did feel like Candy was going to ultimately get by.
Yeah, same. I thought it would have been interesting if Nash had played the idol for Ursula, thinking she had the majority of votes, but that he still had the majority on Candy. Mm-hmm. And then he winds up going home because he saved Ursula. Like, that was my ultimate, like, this is would be a beautiful premiere had that happened, but no such luck.
And that is where it seemed like it was going. In my opinion, that is really where it seemed like it was going. It seemed like Candy was going to survive. She was going to get two or three votes. And it seemed like Nash was going to get the majority of votes. Ursula was going to get the second most votes. Ursula was put into Nash's head by somebody who ultimately ends up voting for Nash, which we'll talk about Zen in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But Zen puts it out there that Ursula is going to be the one who gets the votes. Nash loses his mind. Zen turns around as one of the three people to vote for Nash, which was very interesting. So we have all of this taking place. And I said, okay, Nash is going to play this for Ursula, thinking he's a step ahead, and then he's going to end up being the one voted out. Ultimately makes the right move with the idol. I think in this situation, if you're going to show off the idol to people, you have to play the idol at this tribal council, because what's so important about the first tribal council is you survive it. If you get the majority of votes, you now know not to trust anybody on your tribe. Mm-hmm. But if in this case you get the minority of the vote, you only get three. Now you feel like you might be able to trust a little bit more, and you know that you can trust with five here. So I think even if you're feeling super comfortable, if you're showing other people the idol, play it so that you know he knows where all the cards are now. Mm-hmm. He knows where all of them are. So I'm really excited to see how this is going to shake out. But the three people who voted for Nash were PD, Zen, and Candy. And Candy obviously ended up going home. So Zen was kind of the shocking vote there, but only three of the 12 people voted for him.
Yeah, well, they were doing that split, and I think they wanted to, I guess, split it on more on Ursula, because as the strategy time kept going on, it sounded like they were leaning more and more toward majority on Ursula, and I'm just like, why are we doing this? All we need is like three on Ursula, the rest on Nash, and then Nash, Ursula, and maybe someone else could go the other way. Like, I don't know why we're not putting the majority on Nash just in case.
Yeah. And so who votes for Ursula? It was Ben, Jesse, who was my winner pick, Noonan, and Pauly. We didn't really hear much from Pauly tonight. I don't think we heard a word from Ben. We heard a lot of people talking about Ben, but I don't think we actually heard from Ben specifically.
Yeah.
So they end up voting for Ursula. And then the Candy votes are Kate, Kristen, Morgan, Nash, and Ursula. Kate, Kristen, and Morgan were the late additions to this group. So Nash was supposed to get the majority.
I was shocked about Kristen, because she felt like she was like, I was just shoved into this alliance. I didn't have a say. So I thought she was going to have some, you know, thoughts of like, maybe I don't want to do that. And then Morgan and Kate, they talk to him and he's like, well, you're next to Kate if, you know, she doesn't vote with him. But if Nash doesn't have the numbers, how is she next? If you babysit Nash with getting the idol, how is she next? So like, that is my big issue with Morgan and Kate diverting from the Nash and Ursula plan is, how are they next if they have this groupthink alliance that everyone is wanting to get Nash out or get Ursula out, take out his legs? Mm-hmm. So I just don't know what they were doing when they don't want to align with Nash, because Kate full on said she wants to align with Noonan, with Ben, with the doctor?
PD, right?
No, not the bald guy, the doctor, mustache.
Oh, that was Pauly.
Pauly. Yeah. Like she wants to align with these people, but yet gets too scared and goes the other way. Well, when I think that, I don't know.
It is straight out of the Russell Hantz playbook. It's your next, but I don't have the numbers. So why would you be concerned? And I think what the biggest concern here was that Nash wasn't going to play the idol, that Ursula was going to go home because maybe Nash throws a vote at Ursula. And then the next tribal council, Nash just plays his idol. But I agree with you. Nash has no power. He should have no power in this situation. And it's funny because I actually felt like the tribe kind of liked Nash when he first walked out onto the island. I don't feel like they were against him. He finds the idol in 5 minutes. He immediately goes and tells everybody, which was an interesting strategy, which we can try to dive into. But it was how he played after that. He was so aggressive and over the top. He goes and does the puzzle. He's terrible at the puzzle. It's a total disaster.
He even walked into the immunity challenge with it, showing the other tribe, like, look at me, I'm fancy man.
Yeah, and so for me, it just felt like I don't get what his gameplay was, and that's what ultimately ended up working against him, and that's why the entire tribe eventually said, screw this guy, we got to get rid of Nash, he's too much of a wild card. But he did this to himself as the episode went on. He survives it. Anyway, I was surprised. Kate was so scared, and I was surprised at how scared she was. I am curious why Morgan and Kristen went the way they did more than anybody.
Well, and that's what I'm most excited for. Morgan and Kate were going to go where each other went. So mm-hmm. I think Kate not pushed Morgan into it, but like was like, I'm scared for me, so vote with me. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know why Kristen went with it.
Yeah, here's Adrian Celeste says, from what I heard from the extended voting confessionals, Kate said she doesn't want to vote Candy, but said she wants to be a part of the majority. And Morgan just said that somebody has to go. So
if you were a part, you would have been a part of the majority.
And that's what's crazy, right? Candy goes home with a minority vote. This is a plurality vote, right? It's a 5-4-3. So even had Nash not played his idol, Candy goes home without getting the majority of the votes. So this was really just a butchered vote split because Kristen came home flipped. And I think Kristen, especially, Kristen was ultimately the deciding vote because Kate and Morgan were going to go together no matter what. But if Kate and Morgan vote for Candy and then Kristen turns around and still votes for Nash, it's 4-4-4.
Mm-hmm.
4-4-4. All across the board, everybody's got four. They re-vote between Ursula and Candy, and Ursula goes home because it would have been in a 9-1 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
It would have been a landslide vote. So that's what I'm really confused about and what I don't understand about how this shook out. It was a really fun episode,
mm-hmm.
but the end result leaves me scratching my head of how did they butcher this as badly as they did? And who was the final deciding factor on who was voting for who in this vote split?
Because now Nash has legs. You've got to eliminate that as soon as you see the threat or feel the threat. Otherwise, he's going to run and you're going to let him run. Or some people are going to be like, well, Nash is a threat for later. And then that's how he wins. Or that's how you get into a pickle of like, oh, well, how do we get him out now?
Yeah, I'm trying to read the comments here too to see if there's any answers, but there's not. And yeah, I'm concerned. Like, if they lose again, Nash feels like the easy boot. But at the same time, now they know that Nash doesn't have the idol because he just played the idol. Jonathan confirmed that it was a real idol. So he's in the clear as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I feel like now he's going to run.
Exactly. And I think you're right because now, if you're everybody else on that tribe, you just watched Nash do this, you know he's a wild card and you know that he only just got 3 votes at this tribal. If you voted with Nash at this tribal, so I'm talking Ursula, Morgan, Kristen, Kate, why are you switching? And maybe PD says to Kristen, get over here. But if you're PD, why would you trust any of the people that just voted for Nash? You don't, but you might not have a choice. And then Zen is such a wild card because he votes for Nash, but it seemed like Zen was willing to work with Nash in some capacity. Nash could be coming out of this easy with the 4 people who voted with him, plus Zen, 6-person alliance, goodbye everybody else on the other side.
Yeah, exactly. This episode was so frustrating for me just to watch strategy wise because I was like, all right, great, they're flipping the votes, but the strategy session went on way too long for me to think that Candy wasn't going home. It just like the strategy session kept going and going and going. And I'm like, when are we going to get to tribal council? Because I feel like the vote is flipping somewhere and going somewhere else and not on Nash or Ursula.
Well, and even, yeah. And I mean, when Candy had her reaction to finding out that her name was coming up and she like loses it, she, oh, now I'm paranoid, but we still have the numbers, right? They really truly felt they had the numbers. And the one character. No, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. You're good.
No, just they should have had the numbers. And I think they had at the time Kate and Morgan. But then Nash had that one quick conversation of like, you're next. And then Kate was like, oh, crap.
Yeah. Yeah. And she definitely got scared. I mean, early in the game, that's the way you got to play sometimes, right? Adrian Celeste, I think Noonan definitely has potential to likely go far in the game or be the one to actually take Nash out and be the next opposition for someone. I did really like the edit we got from Noonan. You and I weren't too high on Noonan in our cast assessment. I still don't know who the Noonans are. They talk about them like anybody in the U.S. should have any idea who the Noonans are. I don't know. But I did appreciate what I saw from her on last episode.
I loved Noon in this episode. I thought she was great, and I would love for her to be that opposition to Nash and fight him and, like, hopefully take him down soon.
Yeah, and then we get this from Adrian again. I mean, if you were a Braun and go to Tribal Council again, why wouldn't you vote for Nash? I think because at this point, Nash has made such an ass out of himself, he's always a bigger target than you. And so he's always a bigger target. Keep around the bigger target and pick other people off. And I do feel like he will play the Russell style. And I keep using Russell, but he played Russell right here, right? And the thing is, if you think about how Russell played, people always say Russell was a backstabber. But the only person Russell ever truly backstabbed the entire time he played who didn't try to make a move on him first or who didn't give the undying loyalty was Danielle. Danielle was the only one that he made a move on that he didn't need to make a move on. If he told you, I'm going to the end with you, think about the foe of four. That's the most successful alliance of four. Now, people will say, well, what about Betsy? What about Ashley? What about Marissa? They all didn't give him every single bit of information and loyalty that he wanted.
Well, that's Betsy for damn sure.
Yeah. And then you turn around and you look at what he does in Heroes Villains. And you have Parv. He goes to the end with Parv. He goes very far with Danielle. He is loyal. And I think that's the thing with Nash. You would see a guy who's going to be willing to be loyal. And would you rather have the psycho on your side or against you? And if you're not sure you're going to have 100% the numbers, I will gladly.
Are you with me or are you against me? I'm against you, Nash.
Yeah, exactly. I would gladly sit, though, behind him and let him take the shots early. Especially Australian Survivor. I talk about it a lot on the Patreon because that's the only place I've covered the other seasons. It's a really long game. You can be the best player on the season and finish 16th place and play a really good game. That's not the case with the US. So sometimes it's better just let the bigger threat take the shot.
Or you can finish last and be the best player on the season. Candy, hope you come back soon.
Yeah, I know. People were losing their minds over there. So let's go through some of these other comments here, and then we'll jump over to some other talking points, because obviously we're going to talk Nash early. But Jairo D. Garcia, but right now we focus on the newer season of Brain vs. Braun 2, saying that because we're doing Brain vs. Braun 1 over on the Patreon. I just finished All-Stars, so Patreon on Friday, McKenna and I will be covering the first three episodes of the first Brain vs. Braun, which I successfully skipped the first minute of this episode, so I still have no idea who wins.
I got you.
Although I know it's a brain. That's the one thing I can confirm is that it is a brain, but I am trying to stay unspoiled. So everybody, don't spoil who wins that season if you can avoid it. There's no way I'm getting through this whole season without somebody spoiling it. Ween Dog 2, how do we watch it in the US? There's so many different Facebook groups, links, stuff like that. McKenna, how did you find it? You were on a
Tribe Has Spoken has links, and there's like another Australian Survivor fan jury, I believe, is a Facebook page. There's shvideos.net, shvideos.net.
That's gonna shut down now.
Yeah, great.
Yeah,
you just I ruined it for everyone.
With the 20-something people who are listening right now, one of them was.
Yeah, if you want to, any people are starting to sound off in the comments. Yep. If you have a way that you watch it,
there. Yeah, Conchita down under subreddit. We got C Bombs. There's a YouTube channel. I watch it through a Google Drive. Yeah. Anyway, so there you go. So that's all that. Let's talk. So first I want to talk about how this season started. So we get three confessionals from each tribe to start the game.
Okay, first, what are your thoughts on like how Australian Survivor does their like intros for people? Because obviously US does it very differently when they're giving backstories.
I mean, Australia's gotten way better. The early seasons of Australia were absolutely atrocious premiere-wise. I talked about this a lot in the Patreon. They wouldn't tell you who was talking. They would show you the person. They'd be speaking, but they wouldn't give you a name. And so you're sitting there and you're like, and I can't look this stuff up. Now I'm so excited because now I can actually look up stats, who voted for who, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I'm purposely not looking stuff up for the seasons I'm doing for Patreon, which, by the way, I've gone from 2016 all the way through All-Stars already. I've been putting out one episode a week every Friday for like 8-9 months, however long that is. So if you want to check that out, you can go check it out. Check out patreon.com/specialist. You can get all the backlog of episodes and then you'll get what me and McKenna are doing. Timing just worked out here. I had no idea this was going to happen, but they used to have the person talk and it would just be like, I assume you know who they are. And it would drive me crazy when it would be like Matt Rogers is talking. Okay. The first season of Matt Rogers, I don't know who Matt Rogers is. I've never watched a rugby match in my entire life. I have no idea who this person is. And he's talking. He's like, I'm one of the greatest, blah, blah, blah. And they're showing him highlights, blah, blah. And I don't like it. I don't mind them doing the highlights. I don't mind them showing the real life. Although if I ever see Sharn ever again in her wig being a barrister, I'm going to lose my mind. But I do feel like there is a significant change in the first Brains versus Braun season, which has clearly carried over all the way through all the seasons to Brain versus Braun 2, because it is that big name. Here's their background, blah, blah, blah. I appreciate that when there's this many people. I think this is how you should introduce them because it's a lot and it's a lot to take in. That's not how Australian Survivor for most of the seasons I've watched have done it. So I will stay here and I will say, yes, I enjoy this. Do you know who had the first confessional? Did you write it down?
I know Morgan had the first intro. That's who I wrote down. But
that counts as a confessional. Morgan, okay. That means she wins the season, right? I was correct.
Hey, we'll see. I mean, there are those weird pregnancy rumor things that I don't know. So,
yeah.
And then we for the Braun, we had Morgan, Noonan, and Zen as the first three to get introduced. And then we had Karen. Is the movie guy Rich?
Rich, yeah. He's the best gaslighter anybody's ever met.
And Miles.
Yep. Yeah, Miles was the freak in the sheets line, which makes sense, you know. Karen says she's the full package. Rich, gaslighter, Miles, freak in the sheets. Karen, I'm liking a lot more. I thought Karen would be an early boot.
That
over
was
on
my
Brains.
Female winner pick on Brains.
Meanwhile, I'm over here saying she's gonna be the first boot. I didn't watch any preseason videos. I only read the stuff. She is way more confident than I thought she was going to be based on the little bit of information you put in the Excel or in the Google Sheets to try to throw me off.
Yeah, that's what I did.
It is. You did it on purpose. I can tell.
Yeah. All right. So then we get to this reward challenge, and I thought that was like so different for Australian Survivor. It was just a very simple, like, get this key off the hook, and then you get the stuff that's back at camp.
Yeah, normally they're big and epic. The first Brains versus Braun one is the huge spinning axis wheel thing.
Yeah.
Epic. I texted Will while I was watching. I was like, Will, you need to watch this one because Will's done the challenge producing for Survivor US a couple times. And I was like, if you ever get that again, like, you got to figure this out, or for one of your shows, do this. I'm surprised you haven't seen it. It's epic. This was very simple, and we saw it messed up as badly as it could be when Mac decides he's going to throw a sandbag at it. How are you going to throw a sandbag?
Rich is tried to do that first, and Mac was like, all right, I'm going to try too, and then got it.
How did either one of them think that it was going to work? And I won't talk bad about Rich because that was my male winner pick.
If you hit the key and it like starts going.
How strong did these guys think they were? They're throwing sandbags, what, 20 feet in the air, 15 feet in the air?
I don't know.
They're on the Brains tribe for a reason. They're not supposed to be throwing sandbags. They're supposed to figure this out. It gets stuck. It's a total disaster. Braun smoked them in this first challenge. And it was a very simple challenge. You're right.
Yeah, we see it all the time in American Survivor with this, like, use this pole to get it off the key, or use this pole to get the key off the spiral. But I thought this was so different where they had to almost prisoners escape it and do it vertically with palm fronds. And we saw the Brains break the palm fronds and have to, like, reset and everything like that. But it's like very simple, but also you have to think about it very strategically, where they moved all those sandbags for nothing, just for someone to get on, you know, each other's shoulders and maneuver.
Yeah.
The key.
And Brains did not use their brains in this challenge at all.
All came down to Braun.
I want to talk about the beginning, though. AJ says there's about a 50-50 chance if they keep running Brains versus Braun. There's a 50% chance Brain will win or Braun will win. I thought that was hilarious, and the entire tribe jumped down his throat. We were
I
all
was
over.
Like, this is like the statistics of it.
I know, and we were all over AJ not doing well on this season, and that answer was not the proper answer for confidence. He's like, well, you don't want to say 100. It's like, say it's about 66.7% you, just to give your tribe a little woohoo, like give them a rah-rah moment.
Yeah, I thought it was crazy that they were starting with fire but not flint. And okay, that's fine, but you have to keep the fire going. But is it monsoon season in Samoa? Like, I don't know. I feel like they could probably keep the fire going as long as it's not windy. You just have someone monitoring the fire at night.
Yeah, I mean, they came back from the one challenge and the one fire was out, but they were able to blow on it and get it back up. I mean, the thing that does suck is if it rains, you're screwed.
Correct. Unless you win Flint and then you're good. But like, they still have to win the Flint. But I thought it was so like important for them with having fire that first day with water, because that's like what you hear about in other Survivor of like, we need food, we need water, like we're dying here. But because it's such a long game, I feel like they also give them a little bit of a break.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is, I guess, the first time they're doing this. I mean, I feel like it's a nothing burger for us as an audience. Mm-hmm. I say this all the time with the tribes losing Flint on US Survivor. It means nothing to me. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. Sorry for you. I took the Flint. Don't care. I mean, I'm sitting at home in my air-conditioned house or heated house. Like, I don't care that you took their Flint. We don't watch them suffer on US Survivor the way we used to. So to me, it's nothing. I feel like this will be a nothing burger here, but for the players, maybe it's a little bit more motivation. I don't know. So yeah, to me, that was nothing. We go over to the Branch Tribe. So we talked about Braun because we had to get into everything. Branch Tribe. We have a woman who can see dots and polka dots and lights. And
the witch is coven.
Yeah, you got everything you wanted. I'm watching Fans versus Favorites right now with my wife, and she's never seen it. And we just got to the Aussie boot.
Okay.
And so she's like finally starting to see the
Black
the
Widows.
Yeah, the Black Widows come to life here.
Yeah, second chance is Witch's Coven.
Yeah, that's the Witch's Coven. Because that's what Sierra, Abby, Maria, Kelly Wentworth.
And Kelly Wentworth. Let's get Kelly on the pod to talk about the coven.
Yeah, the coven. Laura was gold. I mean, Laura amazing. Wasn't faking it with the whole witch thing. She was gold.
Yeah, I loved Laura. I was so skeptical when we did our cast assessment, and I thought she was great. I think she's going to be great TV. She introduced herself right away as a witch, and we were like, is she going to say that? Is she going to give a different job? And she was like, no, I'm a witch. And then I think she has been having accurate reads on people. Like, Miles is a gamer. Kent is very sketch, as we see later in this episode. And she sees good vibes about these girls, and I think the girls want to work with her, and I think could make it through with like some male allies as the disguise. And I don't know, I have high hopes for these four ladies.
Yeah, so the coven was Laura, Karen, Logan, and Zara.
Yeah, both our female winner picks from this tribe.
Because who did I have? I had Logan, right?
Logan, and I had Karen.
Logan was essentially invisible in this episode. Other than this moment, right. We didn't actually hear from Logan, so I couldn't face Logan at all once it got started. But yes, that was the group of four. But yeah, she called Miles as a strategic guy, Kent as a, what was she? She was calling Kent the, mischievous. That was the word she used. And he was. I mean, he burns Max's hat. So what do you think about Kent versus Max here? Because Kent is pissed at Max for blowing that challenge. He's blaming Max entirely. How do you feel about this?
I was so mad at Kent. I had like negative impressions from the cast assessment already on Kent. Like, he was my first boot from this tribe. And then burning the hat, at least in American Survivor, they have put the rule in place of you can't burn people's property. So I guess Australian Survivor doesn't have that rule. And then he goes and blames it on Miles, who I feel like would not hurt a fly. But he's trying to throw him under the bus because he's very strategic and brainy. And you got to look at who threw the bag first. Yes, Max got it stuck, but who threw the bag first? It wasn't Max.
Yeah, it was Rich, like you said, but I do feel like if you're a guy like Kent, you look at those two, who's the weaker in your mind? You're thinking Max is the weaker one, so that's why you're going after Max, because you think Max won't defend himself, Rich will. That's why you're doing it. Mm. That's why you should always wear black leather everywhere you go. That's,
not a Tigger sweater.
Yeah, not a Tigger sweater, that's for sure. Yeah, I get why Kent did this, though, because Kent is trying to cause drama between two people who seem like they would be flustered by this. I don't think Rich would be flustered by this. I think Rich would be on the offensive big time mm-hmm. if he found out that his name was out there. Although Survivor AU, they are teasing a massive showdown between the two of them tonight. So maybe I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. Between Kent and Miles, that is. But I feel like, you know what? It's funny. Okay, so here's my question to you. When Sandra burned Russell's hat, what was your feeling?
Oh, that's like, I still don't want people's property to get burnt. So
how
like,
did you feel when Sandra burned Russell's hat?
I didn't want the hat to be burnt. Like I'm of the stance of like, these are my memories from the show. I don't want them to get burnt or tarnished. When Russell burns a sock, I hate it. When Russell got his own hat burnt, I didn't like it, and I thought it was mean-spirited. Like, I think just burning things where they're like, they're gone now.
Okay, stop. Here's my thing. Unless you can answer the way McKenna just answered, remember that as you're watching this episode, if you are furious at Kent for doing this to Max, but you're not furious at Sandra for doing it to Russell, you are a hypocrite. Like, that's all I'm saying. You are a hypocrite. You are playing favorites. You are saying, well, it's okay because I don't like Russell. Well, we don't know if we like Max yet. We don't know.
Right. And
so that's my thing. Like, I agree with what you're saying. I'd feel like shit if somebody, like, I think about, like, you know, go out there with glasses. Almost nobody in Australia wears the glasses. I guess they don't have glasses in Australia. But it's like, if I'm wearing glasses and somebody decides, oh, Phil's asleep, I'm going to go stomp on his glasses and then pretend it's an accident. I see that clip. I find you afterwards. Like, that's crazy. Like, that would be insane. The burning of this hat, that's crazy. And it is, people are probably more furious about this right now because Kent is the multimillionaire business douche who is doing all that stuff. And I'm using douche as in, like, that is the character he plays on TV right now of, I'm the multimillionaire, I have everything,
fly helicopters,
and I'm going to go burn people's hats. And you know what? If you're burning somebody's hats, you're a douche. Sandra was a douche when she burned Russell's hat. Like, that's a fact. But at the same time, it's entertaining TV. I'm not Max. I didn't bring a personal hat onto the island. So yes, I can have empathy, but I can't have sympathy. Or is it the other way around? I can have sympathy, but not empathy. I can't empathize with it because it's never happened to me.
Right.
But I do understand why people would be mad about this. But my thing is, if you're mad about this, just remember when Sandra burned Russell's hat, you probably snickered.
It also sucks for Max said it's the beginning of the game. At least with Russell's, it was right before Final Tribal Council, and he just didn't have his hat for Final Tribal. But I feel like this was just like so unnecessary and mean-spirited. Like, you could have threw Miles under the bus in 10,000 different ways.
I think what really ended up happening was Kent realized he wasn't fitting in. Kent realized things were going bad for him, so he needed the hand grenade, as he calls it. He needed that hand grenade because things were not going well. Things were not moving in the right direction. So the only way to stop it, he felt, was to drop the hand grenade, to toss it in. And his hand grenade was burn the thing that the one person has been talking about more than anybody. So I wonder if Laura will use her witch powers to figure this out.
Yeah, and also Kent was the most vocal of where could this hat be. Like, that was sending alarm bells off in my head of, like, why is Kent being the most vocal of, it could be in the woods, my hat blew down the beach. Like, he's trying to cover his tracks too much.
See, I bet that was heavily edited where everybody was trying to figure it out, but here's the way I look at it. Everything he said made sense. The wind was blowing in off the ocean the whole time. It wouldn't be in the water. It's got to be up there. I think he even says, I found my hat up in, up in the woods or something like that. Like, he says something along those lines. He actually, in my opinion, I think Kent played this really well. I don't necessarily love what he did to poor Max over here, but I actually do think he played it well. And I do think that he has set himself up. We have two massive villains on this season right now in Kent and Nash. They are massive villains. I like a good villain. I really do. I'm excited that Brains versus Brawn is the first King George season because King George is so entertaining.
We'll get into that on the Patreon.
I don't care that you hate King George. I am so excited to talk about King George. But you need a good villain at times. And sometimes you just need a mean-spirited villain. fine. And I honestly don't think Kent's going to get caught. I really don't think he will.
Yeah, I just feel like as I have watched more Survivor, I've fallen out of love for like the mean-spirited villain. Like I want a villain like Tyson where he's like cutting jokes and, you know, throwing Aris under the bus and like, you know, that kind of villain. I'm over like the Russell of it all. I don't know. I just like that. Yes.
You have two on this season,
McKenna. I'm aware. I'm aware. And I hate both of them. Yeah. Let's talk this immunity challenge. Did you I like the coconut snake of it all.
Yeah, I thought this was a solid challenge. I thought it was an interesting idea. The coconut snake idea was fun. Brains won this easy. I thought the puzzle was nice, how it was like every piece is the exact same shape and size. That's a fun concept.
I liked that it also it was everything was same shape and size, but it did the orientation. It could be vertical, yeah. It could be sideways, and so that elevates the complexity.
Yeah,
of
they
the
didn't
puzzle.
Just fit together in rectangle on top of rectangle on top of rectangle. Someone right. in a little bit further. It was like putting pavers down almost.
Right.
I liked it. I liked it. I mean, Braun never really got involved. Nash couldn't do the puzzle to save his life. Noonan did her best.
Is Nash doing Rome levels of throwing the challenge?
I don't think he wanted to physically do anything. I think that's really what it came down to. I don't think physically he wanted to do anything. I mean, Laura and Indy. Indy's another one we didn't hear from. But Laura and Indy crushed that puzzle. I mean, they did that so fast.
Yeah. Nash was like, I can do puzzles. I can do puzzles. Like, they purposefully left that strategy time in.
Yeah. And he still doesn't get the majority of votes. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the whole episode here is the rest is all Nash going at Candy. And the tribal is basically a rehash of what went on in the strategy session. It's all about the idol. It's all about Nash. It's Candy. It's Ursula. And how, like, Ursula can be strong at challenges. Candy can be strong at challenges. And Nash is just sitting pretty, like, I'm not going home.
Yeah. I mean, let's jump into some of these comments here. And it's there's two that connect here. How do you feel about Laura? That's from Ribbit Power. I think that's a new one. So thanks for coming in. Ryan Chan says, Laura impressed me. I thought she was going to be a first boot flame out crazy person. Laura is even. She is even. I'm impressed right now. While there's chaos going on around her, Laura is assembling a team. And that's what you want to see.
It's interesting. I'm interested in her relationship with Miles moving forward because they had that conversation and Laura did what she was supposed to do of, yeah, let's work together. Sure. But then we had the confessional of like, he's a gamer. He's strategic. I can see it. So I wonder how she uses Miles moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Cause like, okay. So let's look at this tribe, right? We have AJ, Allie, Indy, Kaylin, Karen, Ken.
Kaylin, we heard nothing.
I don't know who Kaylin is.
Yeah. I forgot about him. Until they climbed over the wall and JLP was like, Kaylin, up the wall. I was like, oh, him, yes.
Laura, Logan, Max, Miles, Rich, Zara. I feel like Laura, she has her coven, which is Karen, Logan, Zara, which we talked about. She has herself. I feel like she probably does try to steal Miles over here. And I feel like she probably will try to go for, like, I feel like Indy. I feel like that's where this is going to go. I mean, I don't know Allie. I don't know Kaylin. I got to look at your, I really do have to actually look at your PowerPoint because I don't know who those two people are. I could not pick them out of a lineup.
Allie was the AI expert and Kaylin is the PhD student that I think also does AI for the like.
Neither one of those people talked.
No. Allie just introduced herself in the tribe intro saying, hi, I do AI things. Mm-hmm. But Kaylin said absolutely nothing this episode, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, and this is how Australian Survivor goes, right? I mean, obviously, I'm still only up to Brains versus Braun 1, but it seems like this is the situation.
Wait, when you get to Blood versus Water, there's a set of twins that are just, you get nothing the entire time.
Yeah. Yeah. And like sometimes, though, it's like this doesn't necessarily mean that any of these people can be ruled out. Like U.S. Survivor, you go to the premiere without a confessional unless you're Tina Wesson or Natalie White. Like you're not winning. Yeah. That's not the case.
Yeah, it's not.
All right. So, yeah. So when I look at that, I mean, like, you know, I like to go through the players after the first episode. AJ really had everything on the mat. There was nothing else. Allie, nothing. Indy was good at the puzzle, but that was it. Kayla, nothing. Karen had a solid episode. Kent, obviously the villain. Laura had a good episode. Logan is a part of the alliance, but didn't say that much.
Was it. Yeah.
Yeah. Max, poor guy's having a rough go. Miles. I mean, Miles, to me, it seems like we're going to find out more tonight in episode number two. Rich seemed like he was actually doing pretty well. I feel like his gaslighter confessional was a solid confessional to get in the first episode of something. And then Zara was another one. I don't feel like I actually heard all that much from her. She just happened to be a part of the alliance.
Right. Yeah. We didn't hear much from her either.
So that brings me to Adrian Celeste, who, you know, is saying she loved Sandra burning Russell's hat, but hated Kent burning Max's. But how do you all see the coven doing this season, depending on who is targeted and how they maneuver within the brains? I mean, this is the only alliance, and they even say once it has a name, it always has more to it. I mean, we have to assume this means something, no?
It all depends at what happens with the swap. I think pre-swap, it could be something strong, but at a swap, if they get broken up, one gets voted out, I think it's disbanded. Mm-hmm.
Have they done a swap on every season of Australian Survivor?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I don't think with this amount of people that you don't do a swap.
Yeah. Yeah, this was, I mean, this, I feel like the coven matters, and I kind of agree with that assessment. Like, if one goes, maybe it'll fall apart. But I do feel like, why would you want to go for one of those? Like, if Kent is putting a target on Miles, and if Max is being targeted by Kent too, and then if Kent do all this, like, it's going to be a guy over there. It seems.
I think they're strong until something happens to break up the brains tribe. Mm-hmm. I think it would have to be something like a swap or a Australian Survivor classic of vote someone accidentally to the other side or whatever have you that like could bust them up.
All right, so let's talk about brains real quick and kind of roll through them quickly. Ben didn't do anything. Jesse had a pretty solid episode. I thought Jesse was funny. He gave narrative vibes for sure.
But he is being pointed out as a leader.
Yeah.
Because Nash had his confessional of like, these people are the leaders, these are the followers, and then there's me.
Yeah. And then you had Kate, who was a swing vote. Kristen, who shockingly went against what seemed like her alliance, but Kristen definitely had a big episode here. Morgan, who was also a swing. Nash, we've talked about. Noonan, who's solid. Paulie, who didn't do anything. PD, who I'm wondering how PD will feel coming back, seeing how this shook out, and if Kristen will be able to sell him on the fact, no, I was the third person, because I do think Zen was shocking. And we had Ursula, who's, you know, a power lifter who's going to be the first person voted off, it looks like. And then you have Zen, who's the rapper, who had an interesting start to the episode and seemed like he was bouncing around and was relevant the entire time. But like, I don't give Zen much winner credibility at all.
No. What was interesting to me was when Nash was like, Zen, come here. And he like publicly within the camp be like, Zen, come on, come here, follow me. I was like, whoa, this is like so aggressively public that you're pulling someone aside. Like, typically it's like, hey, do you want to like take a walk this way? Oh, sure, let's go. Or do you want to go get water with me? Like, it was literally like, let's go and walk.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was bad too, and that's when I thought Zen was going to become the secondary vote. So I'm curious what the conversations going on behind the scenes that we didn't see were that didn't make Zen the secondary vote and instead made it Ursula, and how people were feeling with Zen to the fact that he ended up voting with the, you know, with Zen, really what was the majority, because it was seven people.
Zen must have just had a social game and talked with other people besides Nash to weasel himself in, because I was shocked when people were like, do you want to vote Nash to Zen? And Zen was like, yeah, sounds good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. Zen's story had missing pieces for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, overall though, really solid premiere, like really, and I'm not just saying that because it's the first Australian Survivor episode really. Like, that was a very, very, very solid premiere of Survivor.
Yeah. Surprise boot that you didn't know what was happening. The challenges were solid. We got to know a decent amount of the players, even if it was just one.
I'd say two thirds. Yeah. 2/3 of them.
And the camp life scenes were good too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like, as much as it stinks to lose Candy, based on what I saw from this first episode, I don't feel like she was going to be a massive personality on the show. So
you got to give her the time, the slow burn.
Yeah. You have played out the fan fiction in your head, huh?
Of course, of course.
But yeah, so I'm excited. I mean, so we'll be back again probably Wednesday night. Probably. Mm-hmm. I got to figure it out because I got to do our fantasy game. I got to do Deal or No Deal Island. And then we got to do the Traders Thursday. So probably Wednesday night. But stay tuned for that. I mean, if what Adrian Celeste is saying here, the episode airs 12:30 a.m. U.S. time Monday through Wednesday. If that's the case, I can watch this first thing in the morning on Wednesday and we can just figure out a time to podcast. So I just have to make sure. I mean, this was up. I woke up this morning at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. It was up. It was ready to go. I could have jumped in. So that was nice to see.
Yes. Yes. I watched it at 8:30.
There you go. Yeah, I'm excited though. This was good. This was good. I'll see how my excitement keeps up once we get into all of the other shows going at the same time. Like once US Survivor comes back and I'm doing predictions, power rankings, digging deeper, and a recap on top of this. We'll see.
Well, then I have Rewind and the Rewind for the Patreon too. Yeah. So
yeah, and you're going to do Amazing Race.
Yes. Mohinder, stay tuned, you Amazing Race fans. We're coming crazy at you.
Here comes a late comment here. Stupid move, but feel that Nash flaunted his idol to see how many players he can manipulate. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like he put his cards on the table early to see.
A strong move to gain to see where his allies are, and he got some of them.
He got away with it. I mean, he's still alive. He's still alive, and he got rid of the person he wanted to get rid of. His
number one question mark, Ursula.
Yeah. So. And honestly, like I'd probably vote out Ursula before Nash next time.
No, you gotta cut Nash. I can't wait to talk
for 24 episodes with you about Nash. I can't wait.
You gotta cut Nash.
I can't wait. No, this was good. So again, we'll be watching. I'll be watching episode 2 tomorrow. I'll be watching episode 3, but we'll be back sometime on Wednesday. Stay tuned. We'll put something up on social media, Instagram, X, all that, so that you guys know. And then I'll schedule it out ahead of time once McKenna and I actually lock in the time. I'm thinking probably right after I do the fantasy game on Wednesday. So maybe something like 7:30 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday. And then we'll go from there. But this is really the only chaotic week of this because then we get into U.S. Survivor, but we can kind of navigate it a little bit better. Yeah, I'm flying up to your area on Friday. So that screwed up my whole week.
Everyone tell Kelly to give me one of her tickets.
I know, Kelly. If anybody is listening to this, if you're in the tri-state area, Kelly Nalbandian has eight
tickets. No, don't enter.
She has eight tickets that she's currently giving away that CBS gave her for a premiere event. So I don't know. You might see familiar faces there. Yeah. So anyway, that's going to cover it. Mohinder Singh does say, is this the normal time you go live? Probably not. Cause we are going to do weekly recaps. We just wanted to get the premiere one out, but we'll also see. I mean, maybe it does get to the point where on Wednesdays, I think on Wednesdays, what we will do is we will get into a rhythm. Once some of these other shows end, meaning Deal or No Deal Island and the Traders, we will get into a rhythm where Wednesdays earlier in the day, probably around like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, that'll probably be where we end up landing.
So make sure you follow us on all social media accounts and make sure you hit the notification bell on YouTube so you know when exactly we will be going live.
Yes. And like this video, subscribe to the channel. Thank you all so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Let us know what you thought of the episode. What you also thought of our coverage, because this is the first time we're doing Survivor AU. Look, it's like riding a bike, right? Like it doesn't matter if you ride a mountain bike or any other or a road bike, it's a bike. But we're about to take on a bigger chunk. And I haven't seen every season of Survivor AU yet. So I'm still getting into the rhythm and I'm gonna have to figure it out, but we'll see. So thank you all so much for listening. And we will see you on Wednesday.
Hashtag Candy was robbed.
Hashtag Candy was robbed.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.